Hi everyone, welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, the Little Green Pasture. Praise ye the Lord. Before I get started, I'm going to pray. Will you join me? Dearest Lord Jesus, I humbly bow before you as I am your ready servant, a vessel of the Lord, a humble one at that. I come to you and I offer up myself to you, Lord, that, Lord, I would be a riverbed of your love, of your life, your very life, Jesus, and of your sound. Lord, I offer up this message to you, which I do not have a planned message. But Lord, the things that are moving in my heart. Lord, in your word it says, thine heart shall live forever, meaning our heart. And if my heart shall live forever, then it's only because of the things, rather, who lives in my heart and the things of the Lord that magnify you. So be magnified. O Chief Shepherd, O God of love, I now commit this message into you, to your hands, and I pray for your very presence, Lord, to dwell in the midst of us, the Holy One, the Holy Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lately, I've been sensing things. And when I say lately, what do I really mean by lately? Yesterday, today? But over the last few days, more so today. And many of you are sensing something. You don't know what to think about it. Because each of us are all alone, you see. And we're sensing something. But we could all tell, I'll put it on me, I could tell that it's something that is beyond the obvious things that all of us are reading about Israel, things that are happening in our nation, things that are in the future. And I'm talking earthly things, but I'm also talking about spiritual things. And I'm aware of it. I have some good friends that have recently reached out to me, one this morning and one a day ago. And they kind of trickle in because we are a body and we communicate with each other. The body always communicates with each other. And one by one, many of us, many of you are reaching out to me and you're telling me, Joni, I'm sensing something. I can't tell what it is. I just know I can't sleep. I'm being stirred. And I will go as far as saying collectively that we are all sensing something is about to happen. There is this somewhat strange calm before a storm. Do you feel it? This morning it was coming like waves into me while I was reading, while I was meditating, while I was looking to the Lord and thoughts of my mind. And like the tribe of Reuben in the book of Judges, in Deborah's prayer, she said there were great searchings of heart. And we do the great searchings of heart when we sense things that we know are not originating from us. And I can absolutely tell it's not just because I've been watching what's happening in beloved Israel and what's about to happen in man's plans and what's happening behind their closed door meetings and the obvious setup of a new world order, as they as we've always been heard it said, which is really the Antichrist kingdom and his religion and his government, global government, governance. But it's greater than that. And I want to talk about our senses today because, see, our senses are something that go beyond our mind, our hearts, and it's something like a voice, and we hear it, but we know it's not here, but we're hearing it from in our, do I say our hearts, our spirit, that there is a voice, we're hearing something, and it's greater than our voice. It's greater than our thoughts. It's greater than anything about ourselves, spirit, soul, and body. And we can't get away from it. And it's not even that we're trying to get away from it. And we get these senses. And I always do this. It is a litmus test for me. If I'm sensing something and it seems strong or it seems like it could be from the Lord, I'll give it time. I used to act on senses erratically. I would say, oh, I'm sensing something, and I'd jump into something, or I'd speak out of turn, or I would do something that wasn't meant for me to do. And it turned out I wasn't sensing anything from Jesus at all. I was unexercised in my senses. And our walk of faith exercises our senses. Our reading, our Bibles, hopefully the King James Bible, that we're exercising ourselves. And all the things that we're doing in life are trending towards heaven. We're the people of the living God. This is our turn on earth. This is our time. And all those that have gone before us had those same senses. And all through the beginning, I believe God created us people, even those who are not saved yet, all the way back to the beginning of man. God put in us a sense. You know, people like to call it a sixth sense, but if it's not written in the Bible, then why does there need to be a sixth one? I don't believe it. I believe it's something God created in us, and we pick up something. I believe, I guess people would put a sixth sense on something, but I don't want to use that word sixth sense. If it's not written in the Holy Bible, then I'm not going to call it a sixth sense, but only a sense. And through the thousands of years and all these stories and all these testimonies to the Bible, we read all these stories and we know that they were as human as we are. Just as you are, just as I am, they were. And absolutely, they sensed danger. They may not have visually seen things or even heard a word, but they said, I'm sensing something is coming. There are some people that don't sense anything. I don't know why. There's many people who are truly believers or born again. I don't understand it. But there's many that do sense. And I think it's okay that if they don't sense something, that those of us that do sense something, we could be like all these little watchmen all over the world that can tell those that are younger than us are not sensing something. We don't have any answers why, but they're beloved of the Lord. But we can say, as watchmen, I'm sensing something. And we are sensing something as this, what I call the final generation. I believe we are them. And you know what I know about the Lord, and I know you know this too. A thorough reading of the Bible from cover to cover, you will see a God that always warns his people. And see, because we're spiritual too. We sense spiritual activity. We sense spiritual things because, see, this world, as many people experience it, are just a carnal world, a physical world, and it ends there. You know, it says in Job, for God hath set eternity in the hearts of men that they may not know what is hereafter. But that was before Jesus Christ. But now that Jesus Christ has come, and he has died, and he was buried, and he was risen again from the dead, and he has ascended on high, and he is now seated at the right hand of God, as he is the express image of God. He is God. And he's upholding all things by the word of his power. And all power in heaven and earth has been given unto Jesus Christ. I like to say sometimes when I'm looking at scriptures, we know that verse I just said, Matthew 28:18. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me of my Father. Therefore, go. And we know the rest of it. Teaching, baptizing, and the rest, right? But sometimes I like to truncate it and say, therefore, go. There's always a go with Christ. From the beginning of the Bible all the way through to Revelation, there's always the word go. But go forth. The camp of Israel always sets forth. Everything is always going forth. When we read in Ezekiel, and he's seeing the cherubim, the four cherubim going back and forth, it says they go straight forward, that their faces are set forward, that they turn not to the right hand nor to the left, except for the spirit that is in the wheels. When the spirit went, the wheels went. When the spirit stopped, the cherubim stopped and they let down their wings. Maybe we need to learn, in a sense, to use that, to let down our wings. But you know, a spiritually sensitive people spend time with the Lord. They spend time in his presence. You know, we look at things and we go, yeah, there's so many things like, look at the transfiguration. Well, that was just for Peter, James, and John, because he was taking them into something that they needed to see, because later on they need to understand and have understanding of prayer and have a window into things eternal. And yes, that's true. But you think that was just for them? I fully believe that when we pray, it says Jesus, and I know I'm going on a rabbit trail, but I'm following the stream of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went up into that Mount of Transfiguration, I like Luke's account, Luke chapter 9, it says, as he prayed, his face shone and his garments became white and glistering, and heaven was opened up. And these three men see two heavenly men who were once alive and they were with Christ. And they were in heaven, and now they're with Christ. They were there speaking with him of Jesus' decease. And you know what I say to myself? That was absolutely a moment in time on earth of that transfiguration. But I believe it was for you and me. Because see, when we pray, we're doing, Jesus has taught us to pray, didn't he? Didn't he tell us to pray? We see that in Luke chapter 11, right? Or Luke chapter 18. And I believe it's Matthew. Well, I won't go on to all the, you know, the parts where Lord teaches how to pray. And he says, this is how you're going to do it. And he gives examples and he gives teaching, little scenarios, little vignettes. But I believe this with all of my heart, that prayer is so powerful that we have a picture of what happens in prayer. And Satan wants to shut your eyes to that. He does not want you to have any sense of prayer by faith unto God, because when you begin to pray, the same God, our Father, now Jesus Christ, by virtue of the Holy Ghost, we pray and we enter by the Spirit into the everlasting God's presence. I say there is a transfiguration that is going on somehow within our spirit. Yes, I know that is a unique thing that happened. But I say to myself, Lord, You're always teaching us how to pray. You're always saying, ask and pray, ask, at all these words, right? They says these three little words, ask, and they come with a sense. Prayer comes from something we're sensing in our hearts. Everything happens right in here, people. You know, a lot of things come in and out of our mind. Our brains are not spiritual. Feelings are pretty much 99% just earthly, and they're very human. But they are still given to us, and God will use that, your feelings, for prayer too, as he has used mine, believe me. But see, we've been sensing something going on, and we can't tell what's happening, and we just try to guess. Well, I think it's because of what is happening in Israel. I say, yes, I do believe it's because of what is happening in Israel and this strange kind of lull. And I'm sensitive to that, and so are many of you. A friend of mine reached out to me today, and she said, Joni, I have been sensing something, and I don't have her text in front of me, so I'm sorry if I'm getting it wrong. But it was something to the effect that, you know, because it was extremely early this morning, and for her too, and for me, and we're both up at the same time. But if it was enough for her to reach out to me at that time, that's because there's something moving. And it happened right at the time where I was in devotion, and I was feeling that movement. And, you know, we want to move with the Spirit. Don't you want to move with the Holy Spirit? And if one or some people, maybe a collective number of people spread out upon the United States and all over the world are sensing something, that's one thing. But when everybody is beginning to feel that identical sense, let me tell you what I believe it is. It is a call. It is a call for you. It is a call for all of us as the people of God, as this last generation, to be the kind of people that will gather themselves together in your own. When people go to war, when they're called into service, they don't say, I mean, it's that you're called personally, your name is called, and you're known by name. Jesus knows you by name. Your Father in heaven knows you by name. That's very personal. And if you are sensing that and thousands of others are sensing it, it's because we are meant as the body of Jesus Christ, and we owe him something. It's time now to get yourself before the Lord as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter. Oh, Joni, I'm not a soldier. Yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. Because see, all power in heaven and earth that has been given to Jesus Christ, excuse me, by his Father, he says to you, go. And we're in a war. We are in a war, but it's a good war. And we fight that good war according to the prophecies that have gone on before us, like Paul told Timothy. And there is something mighty because, see, this is something where he's not going to just let go. What does he want to tell you? See, he wants to tell you something. He's moving in you. Pay attention. Appear before him. He is your Savior. He is your King. He's your Lord. And you want to do exactly what he wants you to do, don't you? So many of you say, I want God to use me. Well, then go to him. If you are getting that, or let me say this to you, even if you are not sensing something, go anyway. Go anyway to him. I'm serious. I may be giving you a nice little smile, but I'm telling you, you know how many times I've gone to him and not felt anything? Saying, God, use me. Here I am. Like I'm running after a bus. I've missed my bus and I'm running after it. Here I am. Wait for me. And if I have to run the entire way behind the bus, I'll meet the bus there eventually. See, if you have a willing heart, that is enough. But see, we are sensing something. I look at Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. It's one of my favorite verses, but I'm going to read it to you right now. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, being for he be the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. You see, we exercise ourselves in all kinds of things. I think many times we exercise ourselves in things that are of no value to us at all. Too much TV, too much time on our cell phones, too much time looking at garbage. You don't want to be doing that right now. This is not a rebuke. This is me, your sister in Christ, saying, arise. Just like those that were sent from Jesus to blind Bartimaeus, arise and be of good cheer. The Master calleth for thee. And he is calling for us. And you want to be part of whatever he is doing in this earth at this last time. I want to bring something up. I'm not sure if you guys have seen this movie. And I'm not a movie person, but I watched a movie and it was made during the lockdowns. And it was called Greyhound, and Tom Hanks was in it. And it's based on a true story. Anyways, the point is, it was so powerful. It was this, he was a captain of a naval war vessel. And it was during the German war and in the Atlantic Ocean, between the United States and England, they had to escort the Greyhound. They're called Greyhound. It's called Greyhound because that was the name of the naval vessel. They had to escort oil tankers, a number of ships that had cargo, and like I said, oil tankers and others. And there was a place in the between called the Black Pit where there was no air support. And so the whole movie was intense. And he was a Christian. And he kneels down before they even get started. And he kneels down. And first of all, it shows a little card where he's looking at himself in the mirror because he's preparing. And it said, Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. And he kneels down and he gets his Bible and he begins to pray. And he says one thing. He said, let the angel of the Lord go with us and do not let the enemy have power over us. And through that movie, it's so intense. It's so powerful. And there was a wolf pack of these submarines and they were on their own. And it was potent. And through it, he says scriptures. And then finally, I'm not going to give up the whole thing. When there's a part, when they make it, they're in safety now. And when they're going in, you have the ships that survived and all the hundreds and hundreds of people, the sailors on the other boats were waving and it was powerful. And he just stood there looking because they had just gone through what they called the Black Pit. And I think of that, and I see that. And every time I get this potent sensation, that's how it's going to be when we come in. I know I feel emotional, but I believe it. I really believe it, that those of us that come in at the last, that those that have been waiting for us in heaven will welcome us just like that. That's why I'm here. That's why I believe Jesus has me doing this humble little vessel. But you see, I'm sensing that God is moving in his body in those that truly love him. For those that the strong meat is Christ. The strong meat belongs to us. And we have exercised ourselves in trial and tribulation and in wars and catastrophes, running for our lives, all of that. Because I'll tell you something right now, there is not one person in heaven that will ever be able to say that the sense God gave me about something was wrong and I missed it. God will make a way, even if you're not sensing something, by the brothers and sisters around you. And that our senses, I mean, think about it. We're able, I mean, haven't you ever sensed this? Let's make it earthly. Can't you sense when a friendship is over? Can't you sense when something of another person has changed? Can't you sense, you get a sense, we're going to be moving pretty soon. I don't know. I just get this sense that, I don't know, that I think there's a move in our future. Or I had a sense when I was at a job, my last job, I had this sense while I sat at the desk. I even remember looking up for a second because it was so strong that I would be leaving soon. And I was gone a week later. And we could sense things. Our senses are very potent. Pay attention to them. Do not disregard them. You know, I even look at Nehemiah 8:8, where it says, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now that had to do with the either by rendering the Hebrew into Aramaic dialect or Chaldee. And the priests, which was Nehemiah, Ezra too, it says that they gave them, they made the obscure words and passages simple to understand because they had been away for so long from ever really listening to it, the law. See, God is a God of understanding. He says, I am understanding. I am wisdom. And God is very clear. He's very construct. And he does not give blurry lines. You know, when somebody gives you a word, well, the Lord is showing me something. When people, there's people I've heard giving me words, you know, during my life. Or I've heard other people give words. And, you know, or people give a word. The Lord is showing me that something and it might be this way. And I'm kind of thinking it's this. I don't buy it for 1 minute because I believe that when Jesus Christ gives us a vision, it's very clear. It's very acute. It's sharp. It's crystal clear. Just like the pure shinings after the rain. There is nothing blurry about Jesus Christ. And if you are sensing something coming, let's just set that aside. Whatever you are sensing, don't disregard it. Oswald Chambers even said that. When the Holy Spirit is educating you down to the scruple, never disregard the slightest touch, for he is detecting something in you. You know, J.H. Owett, he's one of my favorite theologians, and I love reading his material. I have one of his devotions called Daily Devotions for the Encircling Year. And he was alive around the turn of the century in England. And he said, exercise faith intensifies my spiritual senses. And, you know, isn't it true? When you just shut off the TV, when you stop listening to gossip, when you stop looking at the garbage. You know, I know you can get involved with that, right? But, you know, I have noticed when I've pushed away from that table of vomit and I set myself at the table of Jesus Christ, I notice that immediately something happens. It's instant. Watch, try it. That all of a sudden he begins to cleanse you of all of that. Then all of a sudden you begin to hear more clearly. You begin to hear him in your inner ear. You begin to sense him. You begin to get that welling up within. And everything begins to become clear and concise. And you're able to see what he wants you to see. I want to talk about the next part. There's a second part to this. I spoke about asking. Right? Because when you sense something, like I said in the beginning, it's time to go to him now. Don't let that sensing go on forever. It's a call for you. If you have a sense about something for 1 or 2 days and it goes away, I don't know. You may want to speak to him in those couple days. Maybe it's a little something he wants to show you and it's personal. But if it's something resounding and it's going on with the whole body of Christ, then it's a calling. He's calling you. And I read something the other day about a woman who had a life after death experience, and she clearly was a believer, but I cut a portion out. This is what it said. Yvonne described after leaving her body that she was in a beautiful field with vibrant flowers. She said, "There are no words to describe what it's like to be in the presence of Jesus, the love and the light and the purity. The love is insurmountable. It is all-consuming." And when she met Jesus, they walked together. And Jesus began to reveal to her in that little amount of time that people sometimes hesitate to ask him for things, but that they shouldn't. She explained, and people do not either feel worthy or they feel like they're bothering him or it's too much to ask or they don't believe in Christ or in heaven. But he said to her before she went back into her body, the final thing he said, but remember to tell people, ask. And that grabbed me. That was days ago that I read that. And a door swung open in my heart. That door swings both ways. I think it's like a well-oiled door because it opens both ways for Christ to speak to me, to come in, and for me to go back in. The door is always open for us. But you see, Satan gets us all entangled. I know, but I've prayed forever. I know, but I prayed all that time. I know, and all these buts. That's a three-letter word that unseats every prayer you've ever prayed. We serve a God that's saying, ask. That's amazing. I love that. People come back with messages all the time, but that was something important that he wanted all of us to hear. Ask. It even says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, I think it's verse 32, it says, ask. Ask me. Go ahead, ask me from one end of heaven to another. And this is to the Jews. And he said, what people are there that I have taken out of one nation out of another by great signs and power and miracles and signs, wonders? He said, go ahead, ask of me. We read in John, between John chapters 14 through 16, there's all these that you will pray, that you will pray, that you will pray. You can ask what, and then we read about prayer. You can ask me whatsoever you would have me to do, and I will do it, that it will be, my Father will be glorified in heaven. Do not allow your own, whatever happened in the past, whatever God didn't answer or hasn't answered yet, there are no answers for that. They belong to Him. But don't ever stop having faith in Jesus Christ. Don't ever allow yourself to unseat your prayers because you didn't see something come to pass the way you asked it. There comes a time that we don't just take from the hand of God. We kiss the hand of Jesus Christ. We kiss the hand of God. We bow to the living God. We don't just grab and take. And look, there are things in the past you're praying for. I don't want to talk about that today. I don't know. That's not none of my business. It's personal. But I'm telling you from this point on, when I saw that, Jesus said, but remember to tell people, ask. Period. Ours is to ask, His is to do. Is that simple for you? It should be simple for you. Lay it all down. It's not about building up some froth of prayer. There's times that you can ask, just ask. You know what? After I saw that, it was a day later. I got up in the morning and you know what I did? I just asked. And I didn't say, but I didn't say, and many times I've done this. Lord, I pray that so and such and such. But I understand, Lord God, that sometimes you do things or you don't. And you know what? I felt so convicted in my heart that I said, I will not do that to you ever again. And I felt that from him. that the Spirit was bearing witness with my spirit that that was exactly what He wanted me to understand. Maybe this is for you, maybe it's not for you, but I'm running with it. And do you know I've had a freedom since then? Where there's nothing in between. I don't have to worry about it. Ask. I think that is the most powerful thing. I want to share one last thing. I knew a guy, he shared a vision with me, and he said, and he had a powerful testimony. And he said to me, one day we were talking, and he said, you know, I had a vision where I saw the throne of God. And I said, you saw the throne of God. What did you see? And he said, I was reading my Bible. And as I was reading my Bible, I saw this vision in my eyes. And all of a sudden, I didn't understand what was happening to me. But I saw myself standing in what looked like a country. And there were flowers everywhere, like it was this big field, like this big open, vast valley. And he said, and there was like this mountain range in front of me. And I looked up because I saw something coming, and I saw the throne of God in the air, and it flew by me like that overhead. And then I saw it go back the other way. He said, the scene then changed. And I saw myself standing adjacent to the throne that Christ sat on, like an observer. He said, and I saw a man walk up to the throne, and Jesus asked him, I forget the exact words, but he inquired of what he wanted. And he said it like this. I'm trying to remember. He said, Lord, he said, I'm asking for this thing. But I understand if you don't want to give it, and you don't even have to give all of it, even if you don't want to give anything at all, but I thought I'd ask. But even if you give just a little bit, he said, as the man was saying that to Jesus, he said he saw Jesus's face become disappointed. His expression was like he was disappointed. And that I think he said Jesus nodded like, "You okay, it's yours." And he went, and another man came up. And the man said to Jesus, when Jesus asked him what he wanted, he said, Lord, he said, I pray, I ask you to give me everything. And he said, Jesus's face looked so happy. And he said, Lord, he said he knew that man wasn't a evil man asking for, I want this and all these material things. He was a godly man. He said, Lord, everything. I pray you give me everything. And Jesus was very happy about that. And you know, I had forgotten that vision that man had until I remembered that. And did you know in Ezekiel, just to let you know on a side note, and by the way, it's in Isaiah, it's in Psalms, where the throne of God is carried by those cherubim that we read. Oh, yes. Check it out. The throne that man saw that was like lightning going over him. That throne of God actually travels. Amen. He sees everything. Jesus says, if you're sensing something, ask. Whatever you need, ask. Don't worry about it, how it looks, how it's going to come about, how he's going to do it. He's God. But he says, ask. Ask in faith. And like J.H. Jowett said, exercised faith intensifies my spiritual senses. And if there is something upon which God has put his pressure on you, if you sense a pressure, obey him in the matter. Be faithful in the moment. God bless you.